ESPN is making moves away from the cable bundle and away from linear television. And Norby and his background and everything that he's done has been about trying to drive viewership and keeping the linear ratings as high as they can possibly be.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Tuesday, April 16th. Today, I'm joined by John Orrin to talk about a major shakeup at the top of ESPN, which saw the ouster of longtime executive Norby Williamson. John explains the drama behind the move and what it means for ESPN's digital ambitions. We also discuss the NBA playing hardball in its negotiations with Diamond Sports, and I asked John where he was when the OJ verdict came down back in 1995 at a very different time in sports media than the one we are in now. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to The Powers That Be. I'm joined today by John Orrin to talk about sports media. John, welcome to the show. We're a few weeks into the Major League Baseball season. How are you feeling about the baby birds?
Oh, the baby birds with Jackson Holliday coming up, possibly the biggest call-up in the history of the Baltimore Orioles. The great thing about being an Orioles fan this year to me is that they're young players, so they haven't become hateable yet. Everybody's sort of rowing in the same direction, and it's just a really likable team.
Yeah, I feel like you Orioles fans feel the way this season, the way I did as a Reds fan. When they had a great season last year, but really young team. Eli De La Cruz got called up and he was white hot all year, and he's white hot right now this year. But I'm just savoring this moment as a mid-market fan for when all of my favorite players like Jonathan India and Eli De La Cruz get sold or traded to the Yankees or the Dodgers. Eli De La Cruz's agent is Scott Boras. So cherish these young players while you can in Baltimore. John, I want to talk to you today about that huge shakeup at ESPN. Longtime executive Norby Williamson ousted recently. I want to talk about why that matters and why it happened. I also want to talk about the NBA playing hardball with Diamond Sports. Before getting into all that, and forgive the Orioles preamble, here's another one. OJ Simpson died last week. Obviously, like, we all remember where we were. I just want to ask you real quick, like, where were you when the verdict came down? It's been really amusing and interesting over the last few days explaining to people just slightly younger than me, like, why this was such a big deal. Like, I was telling one of my friends who's 10 years younger than me that I was in seventh grade in earth science at Tuckahoe Middle School in Richmond, and they wheeled a television into my science class to broadcast the verdict. Where were you when all this went down?
Well, I was new in my career. I was in a newsroom in Potomac, Maryland for Phillips Business Information. I wrote for it was like a technological marvel. It was a newsletter, daily newsletter that we faxed to people. Because typically we would take the newsletters and we put it in snail mail and the people would get it, you know, who knows how long afterwards. And we didn't have cable at the time. Nobody had an email. The Washington Post was still, I think, a year and a half away from launching its own website. I distinctly remember a female reporter lugged her huge TV in, put it on a table in the conference room, and the entire office just gathered in that conference room just to watch this verdict come down. It's something that's just seared in my mind, and I immediately reflected back on that with the first text that I got about O.J. Simpson's death.
Me too. And I also remembered the car chase when I think it was game 5 of that Knicks Rockets finals, that where I don't know which network, but they broke in to coverage of the finals to show the white Ford Bronco on the five. That was like one of my first moments where I really cared about big breaking news on television. And I don't know. It's been a wild few days reflecting on how big that was for our culture. Peter Kafka from Recode tweeted the day OJ died last Thursday, 95 million people watched the Bronco chase with Al Cowlings. 150 million people watched the verdict live on television, which is just, you know, those are numbers you don't see these days.
I recall it was on NBC. It was carried the NBA finals back then. And I just recall that they did a split screen, and I got frustrated because I just wanted to see the chase, even though the chase showed nothing more than it was a slow speed chase with the white Ford Bronco. So I turned the channel to another channel, and I decided I wasn't going to watch the NBA Finals that night.
It was a good series, too. Anyway, Norby Williamson. John, this broke a couple weeks ago. For people that don't know, Norby Williamson was a very senior executive at ESPN for like 40 years. I mean, I worked in TV news and people stuck around for a long time, but at senior levels of networks, that rarely happens. But obviously ESPN, a little bit of a different place than CNN or NBC News. Can you explain why Norby being forced out of ESPN is a big deal? And does this have anything to do with Pat McAfee calling him out on his show a few months ago and accusing him of leaking bad information about ratings for his show? I mean, why did this happen now?
Well, Norby is, like you said, he'd been there for 40 years and he was the ultimate survivor. He just knew it didn't matter who was running ESPN. He ingratiated himself to ESPN because he's willing to play the heavy, and he always kept ESPN the linear network. And I think that's important, but he always kept ESPN front of mind with every decision that he made. So back about 7 years ago, ESPN made a decision where they were going to take the 6 p.m. Sports Center and they're going to make it more of a personality sports center. They had Michael Smith and Jemele Hill on it, and it didn't do well on the ratings. And they called in Norby, and Norby ended up switching the sports center. He caught a ton of flack, but the sports center increased in ratings, and he had a bullseye on his back, and all of his superiors always appreciated that about him. What ended up happening at ESPN is that he sort of ran his own fiefdom. And so when he got a new boss, Burke Magnus, who reports right into Jimmy Pitaro, Burke wanted him to be part of these decisions. But Norby had operated for years, not just making a decision and telling his bosses about it afterwards. So there was a lot of, it's an age old tale of sort of a corporate tale where, you know, a new boss comes in and does things in sort of a different way.
What about our friend Pat McAfee and his tank tops? Did he have anything to do with this?
Peter, thank you for not wearing tank tops to this podcast. I appreciate that. Well, Pat McAfee back in January called Norby out on his show, where he called him a rat. He accused him of leaking damaging information. It was a stunning and public rebuke of a senior executive at ESPN. And I waited for Pat McAfee to get suspended. Certainly that was what was going to happen. And nothing really happened to Pat McAfee. And I think the problem was that Jimmy Pitaro and Burke Magnus, while they hated the fact that McAfee went public with this, they felt like the things that McAfee said, not of Norby being a rat or leaking the information, but of Norby sort of being too focused on linear television at the expense of digital. That was something that they felt he actually hit head on.
It also feels like McAfee kind of is this bridge to the Barstool universe of sports commentary. I know ESPN had its ill-fated flirtation and deal with Barstool a while back.
One episode.
It was a Barstool Van Talk. Shout out to PFT. but it does feel like the execs kind of acknowledge that if they suspended McAfee too, it would be like, you know, they need that. They need that audience, as small as it might be, that digital sports bro audience that McAfee seems to have a connection to.
Well, they especially need it now because next year They're going to be launching an app, the ESPN flagship app, that's basically you don't need to subscribe to cable to watch ESPN. So they're going to go direct to consumer, and the idea is that they're going to get younger with that. This fall, they're launching what we call, what we love to call Spulu, with that's a sports streaming service along with Fox Sports and with Warner Brothers Discovery. So they are, ESPN is making moves away from the cable bundle and away from linear television. And Norby and his background and everything that he's done has been about trying to drive viewership and keeping the linear ratings as high as they can possibly be.
For a guy that's been at the network since 1985, that sounds like something he would do. John, I want to take a quick break and talk to you about the NBA playing hardball in their negotiations with Diamond Sports. Hey, Powers That Be listeners, I'm here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you a curated list of gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. I use Etsy all the time and have for years. I bought my brother some artwork. I bought my wife some jewelry. I even bought a rug for our living room on Etsy. I love it. But there's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for friends and family members around the holidays or birthdays in my life. And sometimes I get super stressed trying to find the perfect thing. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found the perfect gift for a buddy who's just as into Cincinnati sports as I am, a hot cup of Joe Burrow mug. That's right, I found that on Etsy. It's amazing. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. I'm talking sports with John Oren, who writes the Varsity newsletter. Everyone should subscribe. It's great. I love it. You don't have to be a sports junkie, obviously, to read John. If you care about other things that Puck writes about, business, media, tech, please follow John. John, I want to ask you about Diamond Sports. This is obviously a really big regional sports network. We talked recently about them and their upcoming negotiations for a bunch of rights deals with different leagues. I thought the flashpoint was going to be with Comcast, but you write that it actually might be with the NBA itself.
Well, Diamond tomorrow has a date in front of the bankruptcy judge where it's going to put its business plan out there. And the business plan, they need to get deals, long-term deals done with distributors. So that they have one with Charter, and they still need to work something out with Comcast and DirecTV. But they also sort of need to get something long-term with the NBA. And the NBA has essentially told them, we're willing to do a one-year deal with you to sort of see you through another year, but we're not going to do a long-term deal. And the main reason is because the NBA is negotiating its national and global deals worth a gazillion dollars with ESPN and Netflix and Amazon and Warner Brothers Discovery. So they want to make sure that they close that deal before they start to focus on the local rights deal.
And you also wrote recently about how Diamond did a deal with Amazon as it relates to local digital rights. What's the latest with that?
Well, so that's one of the deals that's helping Diamond potentially get out of bankruptcy. It has possibly one of the best digital companies that's going to take care of these local digital rights. What the NBA has told Amazon is that it's negotiating with all of its local rights, and they're potentially going to sell them to ESPN or Warner Brothers Discovery, maybe NBC if NBC gets on board, or they could go to Amazon. What this means for NBA fans is that there's no longer going to be what they call platform exclusivity, to where you know, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch your team's games on a regional sports network. That exact same game is going to be available via digital, or it's going to be available on some other platform. So the good news for fans is that the rights are going to be out there. The bad news is that you're probably going to end up paying a little bit more to see your team's games.
Yeah, a catch 22. But I don't know. I come down on the side of, please, God, make it easier for me to watch. Maybe I'm willing to pay $5 more. I don't know. Maybe
that's $5. Take. That's so cute, Peter.
John, enjoy this time at Camden Yards with your baby-faced hero, Jackson Holiday. We will talk soon.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.